right, everybody, welcome in. Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. Welcome in. March starts here in Indianapolis. The Barbasol Horizon League Basketball Championships will take place at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum on March 11th and 12th in Indy, with trips to the NCAA tournament on the line. Follow your Horizon League men and women's basketball teams on campus during first round and quarterfinal games before joining them in Indy for a major experience in the semifinals and championship rounds. Visit horizonleague.com/Indy for details, and time is running out. We're about to, it's a little over 24 hours from now, depending on when you listen to this podcast, we will know who's going to be heading to the semifinals, heading to Indiana Farmers Coliseum, heading to a chance, for a chance to get to the NCAA tournament and win it all in Indianapolis next Monday and Tuesday night for both the men and women's Barbasol Horizon League Basketball Championships, of course. And with the field being set in the quarterfinals for both the men and women's basketball side, of course, I'm excited to bring on our next guest. We had him on earlier in the season, Brian Kuklinski, awesome enough to give us an opportunity to catch up here today. Brian, welcome in, sir. How are you?
Good, Justin. I can't believe that we're talking tournament time. It seems like yesterday we were previewing the season for both of these teams.
Oh, no kidding. That's exactly where we – I mean, that's the last time you and I had talked. It was kind of early on, as the season was starting to take off, Green Bay was starting to take off, and, you know, a team that didn't win many games the year before, didn't have a lot of expectations coming into the year outside of just improving upon last year. They've been one of the biggest and funnest stories of the season, and that's what I want to pick up with. Let's start on the men's side. Let's start with the Phoenix, of course. Again, they did a good job sweeping a lot of awards, no doubt about it. But let's start there. So, obviously, Sundance Wicks, Horizon League Coach of the Year. Noah Reynolds, Newcomer of the Year. You look at first team, you look at Noah Reynolds getting that first team slot as far as that's concerned. I mean, so many good players. You also have the Freshman of the Year and David Douglas. So, look, there's so many regular season awards that was announced earlier in the week. Green Bay took home a lot of hardware, but I also know they're also stumbling a little bit at the worst possible time right now. Just take us through the season for Green Bay basketball, because it's been an up-and-down journey, no doubt.
Sure, it really has. And I think, one of the things that I take a look at is, Noah gets all the accolades and well-deserved, getting the Newcomer of the Year and first team. But Coach Wicks and the team have talked about, a whole team of Robins to Noah's Batman, that on any given night, somebody has stepped up and does great things. DJ Douglas with a couple of 20-point games. Preston Reedinger coming in against Youngstown State at the Beagley Center and putting up 26. Marcus Hall, a true freshman, Will Eames coming in and doing it. So it's really a team that's built around that team mentality. And then, Noah suffers the ankle injury, and which kind of, they lost to Northern Kentucky at home. Noah gets hurt in practice. They get boat raced by Purdue Fort Wayne, put up a really good fight against Youngstown in the rematch at home. And then went on the road to Cleveland State, which not a lot of teams went on the road to Cleveland State and won. So you're thinking, well, it's going to be good. And then the I-43 series against Milwaukee didn't end the regular season in the best of fashion. But it's kind of one of those things where you look ahead to Wednesday night, chance to get Milwaukee again, and Noah being healthy for this game, see what kind of difference that makes. I'll be interested to see the game for the third time, because if you remember, B.J. Freeman from Milwaukee didn't play in Green Bay, and Noah didn't play in the game in Milwaukee. So it's the first time these two guys are going to see each other.
Now, with that, so talk about that, the Noah Reynolds injury. I mean, what do you have an update on that? What is the status of him, of what you've been told? Because obviously, you talked about the strengths. I mean, they're not just a one man team, no doubt. I mean, they've had some big wins even in his absence, but at the same time, their best chance to win this thing is obviously with him out there. The status of him is what, in your opinion?
Based on his Instagram account and everything that I've heard from the team, he's going to go tomorrow. So we'll see. I don't know. I haven't seen practice at all earlier this week, so I'm not sure, where he's at. But I know, in my opinion, 65, 70, 75% of Noah Reynolds is still pretty useful out on the floor.
No kidding. And especially, too, because you start to get, you know, you have to start making tough decisions, especially as you, like, I think Green Bay knew how special they are. Like, they know they're good enough to win this league. They're good enough to win this tournament coming up, but the best chance they have at winning it is with him out on the floor. Not saying they did this. They definitely didn't sit him out on purpose, but also they were not forcing or rushing him back by any means, because you need him healthy when that time comes. You know, things were so crowded up at the top. I mean, the fact, if you would have told me a month ago at this time that, that Green Bay would have lost as many games as they did down the stretch and still hold on to a top spot, considering how deep everything is, it's wild as we sit here right now and see where they're at heading into this thing, because I think this tournament's wide open. In years past, we've known who the top two are of one of those two will come away with it. We have no clue. Fort Wayne's ranked down at the bottom right now, one of the lowest seeded teams in this tournament. They could end up winning it all. They just beat Wright State on the road just last week. They're good enough to beat anyone in this league right now.
No, I tell you, I was talking to a few friends of mine that were asking, you know, who do you think is the smart money? And I went, if you figure it out, tell me. Because Purdue Fort Wayne coming in as the 8th seed, I mean, they have a legit shot to take down Oakland at the arena. And I've said it's been crazy in the Horizon League all year long, 1 through 8. Really, when you look at it, any one of those teams, you can make a very solid argument that they could win the tournament. And that, to me, is the best part of this time of year. From Green Bay standpoint, were they holding Noah out last Saturday? No, I don't think there was any way Noah could go. Based on the injury he had, if that was a, tournament game, maybe he would have tried to go, but I don't think he was ready to go, which is why Green Bay holding on to get that 3 seed in the first round bye gave him a couple extra days to get ready, which I think was really important.
Now, we've talked about how any team that's left in this thing, quarterfinals on, is capable of winning this. Fort Wayne winning it would not surprise me. They're the last seed remaining, in this tournament. But from a Green Bay perspective, okay, because, I mean, look, some of the wilder things have happened as far as matchups. Like, matchups play a big role in this. Any team can win it, as we've talked about, Brian. But, for me, from a Wright State perspective, I sit back and I'm looking around and I'm like, man, matchup-wise, who matches up well with Wright State? And not just based on, have they beat them this season or have they not beat them yet this season? I look at that NKU draw for them. NKU is very good, and they have a very good coach in Darren Horn, and nothing is given. But that's a good matchup for Wright State, just because they're not a very good three-point shooting team. So that allows Wright State to continue to stay in a game and be able to methodically work the ball inside. They struggle against teams who could shoot the three. That's why I did not want them to be paired with Green Bay had they lost to NKU this past Thursday night. Obviously, double-digit threes against the Raiders the last time. So from my perspective, I look at it that way. How about for you, for Green Bay? You look at this Milwaukee matchup. How do you feel about this matchup? And when you look at some of the teams they could potentially run into in the next round, potentially a Youngstown State, what's your takeaway as far as how they match up against these teams, assuming everyone's fully healthy?
Yeah, when you take a look at the Milwaukee matchup, I think one of the important things is, A, taking care of the basketball. When you take a look at that game last Saturday, Green Bay with way too many turnovers, the pressure got to them in the second half. Milwaukee was able to cash, I believe it was 17 turnovers into 25 points. And then the transition defense, Green Bay, who's hung their hat on defense all year long, gave up a ton of fast break points against Milwaukee on Saturday night. So when you take a look at that matchup, I like it, because if Green Bay defense that they've played all year, I think that you can kind of frustrate Milwaukee a little bit, force them into some shots that they may not want to take. Obviously, slowing down somebody like BJ Freeman, he's probably going to go out and get his, but I like this matchup. The only thing that concerns me a little bit, it's not a Milwaukee thing, is the fact that, Green Bay, as you said, against Wright State and a bunch of other teams, has really kind of lived and died by the three-point shot. Green Bay, they're playing without, really a true big. They don't have a big post presence. So when you're trying to get off the three-point shot, they've struggled over the last 4 or 5 games. Now, the first half against Milwaukee, they did hit a bunch. And I think, if they can get the threes to go early, and that'll be one of the big things about having Noah back, is having that extra ball handler against the press that Milwaukee will employ to, make sure you're taking care of the basketball and not turning it over. So I think Milwaukee's not a bad matchup. But it's also one of those things, first time through the league, nobody really knows Sonny's offensive system yet. Second time through the league, people are seeing it. So it'll be interesting all the way around.
All right, next up, let's transition over to the women's side, too, because, you know, you and I were talking before, you know, Wright State, I call games on the men's side this season and for the women, so they're going to have games back-to-back, a doubleheader. You're doing double duty as well, a doubleheader over in Green Bay. The women will be in action in quarterfinal action as well. The Phoenix finished with the 2 seed, and again, they're no stranger to finishing at the top of that league with Coach Borsett and the job that he's done with that program. On the women's side, they're also rolling right now. They have the 2 seed, and they have a big one tomorrow night as well.
They do. Youngstown State's coming in. And, you know, it's one of those where you're going to be a little bit concerned about beating a team 3 times in 1 season. But I think after the game on Saturday afternoon when they dropped their only home game of the season to Milwaukee in that rivalry game, in a game that Green Bay didn't shoot very well, based on talking with Coach Borsett, and, you know, how things have been going in practice, it's one where the coaching staff didn't need to come in and say a word. The women of the GB Phoenix knew that they let one get away against Green Bay, or against Milwaukee, rather, and they're going to be hungry and ready to go against Youngstown. So I would expect that you're going to see Green Bay making their annual trip to Indianapolis after their game tomorrow afternoon.
Natalie McNeil for the Phoenix gets tabbed as all Horizon League first team. Just talk about her contributions throughout the season. And, obviously the women's side's more balanced this year, too. I mean, you look at Cleveland State, they lose the top player in the league and they still get player of the year, which is wild. But there's balance across the league for the first time in a long time. Obviously, the top two teams at the top, Green Bay and Cleveland State, those are the favorites to win it. But at the same time, the parity around the league, the spread out of player talent is pretty impressive. Natalie McNeil representing Green Bay, all Horizon League first team.
You know what? It's really deserved. And I love getting a chance to sit down and talk to her. She just loves the game. You could sit and talk basketball with her for a long time. And the thing I love most about Natalie's game is the fact that she knows, accepts, and loves living in the mid-range. You know, if she's going to get the ball anywhere 6 to 8 feet away from the basket, it's going up, and more times than not, she's going to make it. But then, you know, to come in and pull down the rebound she does as well at 5'8", I mean, she is just tenacious out on the floor. And if you get a chance to watch her play in person, it is just super fun to watch her game.
No, she's not the only obviously Phoenix player represented in the All-Award team, so that was announced again, as we talked about. You go to All-Horizon League second team, of course, and then there's Maddie Schreiber also getting tabbed for All-Horizon League second team.
Yeah, you know, Maddie Schreiber, very well-deserved honor. Again, really good all-around game. Has led the team in scoring on and off throughout the season. Again, just a nose for the basketball and going to get it. Bailey Butler getting a postseason recognition as well. Just the way she sees the floor, her assist to turnover ratio. Every coach talks about taking care of the basketball, and you know if it goes in Bailey's hands, she's not going to give it up too much. Callie Genke getting co-sixth player of the year. Callie's another one that has come in and really accepted her role. And, you know, there's been nights that she's gone out and put up 20. There's nights that she's maybe only played 10 minutes. But again, it's the testament to the way Coach Borsett has always been. That's the way his teams have always been. The players all buy in and will do whatever's best for the team. And Callie really exemplifies that.
All right, good stuff. And again, we appreciate Brian Kuklinski again for giving us some time here today. The voice of course, the Phoenix on the men and the women's side. And March starts here. The Barbasol Horizon League Men and Women's College Basketball Championships. Quarterfinal action Thursday night across the league. And, of course, you have 8 teams who are vying to get to the Final Four at Indiana Farmers Coliseum next Monday night with a chance to win the championship on Tuesday. Brian, we started out the season previewing everything as we talked about early, and now here we are talking about winding things down a little bit. You have 50-50. You have double the amount of opportunities to get to Indianapolis, calling both the men and the women's side.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll put it a cheap plug. I love Indianapolis, and you know, getting a chance to go there hopefully next Monday and Tuesday to watch some great basketball. Can't wait and hope you and I get a chance to catch up out there.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And just a reminder that for all of you who want a chance to go root on your team in Indianapolis, if they're fortunate enough to punch their ticket to the Final Four, you can, of course, visit horizonleague.com/Indy for ticket details and more information for around the city. So we appreciate everyone who's tuned in here today. Green Bay, the men's side rolling, of course. What a turnaround year for them. Can they get to Indianapolis? Can they get to the Final Four? We'll find that out tomorrow night. And then, of course, one of the most storied programs on the women's side in the history of the Horizon League, the Green Bay Phoenix. They're rolling again. They're looking to return to Indy for the Final Four as well. So good stuff. Thank you for the preview, sir. We appreciate you. And like you said, we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
Sounds great, Justin. Thanks for having me. Go Phoenix.
Brian Kuklinski, radio voice, voice, for the Phoenix on the men and women's basketball side. All right, that wraps it up for us for this episode. We have John Nolan and Rob Schmidt and many other voices of some of the top teams around the league helping us preview these quarterfinal matchups and finding out who has the best chance to get to Indy next Monday and Tuesday night. Until next time, let's reach the horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League.